Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John with another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Every weekday, this podcast brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column, except for Thursdays, which, of course, is what today is. On Thursdays, it brings you a story from the archives of somebody else's something or other from long, long ago, through what I call the Stories, Legends, and Lies of Oregon series. This is early Oregon fiction and legend and interviews with key people who have lived through interesting times in our state. And for today, I have selected a short story by someone calling himself, I'm assuming it's a himself, Adonin, A-D-O-N-E-N, writing in Pacific Monthly Magazine in May of 1899. A short story titled Old Hankins Roundup. This short story reminds me a lot of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. No information is given on whether or not it has any basis in reality, so it has to be assumed to be purely fictional, and from geographical references it appears to take place somewhere east of the Dalles, on the Oregon side of the Columbia River, basically north Wasco County. Here we go. He heard his wife calling excitedly to him as he rode by, but would not turn his grim old face that way. Though he did give one swift glance to see if Wedgie, his dead daughter's little son, was there. That three-year-old tyrant was the one person before whom old Hankins became humble. His wife and college-bred son must do as the Washington cattleman had done, keep out of the way. Little by little, Hankins' ever-increasing herds had swallowed up those of the smaller stock raisers. Whole bunches of their cattle disappeared in a night, and one brave fellow who resisted the raiders went down with a bullet through his head. But old Hankins grew rich, built a modern house, and if there was little love for him in the embryo city, why, he was a good hater himself. The one man whom he hated most cordially was his near neighbor, Mac Lomond. The hardy Scotsman had made the most effectual fight against the diminishing of his stock. By his shrewdness and native perseverance, he had more than once made the old cattle king hand over. And on one occasion, when a bunch of steers were being driven toward the boundary, regardless of their various brands, Mac Lomond's daughter, Leva, had been in the saddle 16 hours in order to meet the cattle thieves there with the sheriff and posse. She saved the cattle, but the herders escaped, and everyone knew it was old Hankins' money that helped them across the Columbia. Well, the old cattle king hated Mac as the best of us hate what we fear. And next to her father, he favored Leva with his sincerest curses. At first he was disposed to look with contempt at the slight figure and fair freckled face with its frame of heavy red braids, but after the episode of the sheriff and posse, and one other, he changed his mind. The other episode took place when Leva began teaching the district school. Hankins slyly hinted to three of the roughest boys who attended the school that there was a pony apiece for them if they would run the teacher out. Of the three, one had become her brightest pupil, the other her stoutest champion, and the two had given the third boy a whipping he would not forget that term. And the only time the old man had been angry at baby Wedgie was when, acting as usual upon his own advice, this independent infant had visited the school. The indignant grandsire towered over the small autocrat and thundered, "How dared you visit that hussy?" When young Al Hankins came home that night, his father ordered him to go over and forbid Miss Mac Lomond to allow Wedgie to enter the schoolroom. Al returned from this errand 2 hours later and said of course he did not insult the young lady by mentioning it. Indeed, he thought it would be a good plan to take Wedgie over to school for an hour every day. At the dinner table, he absently asked his father to pass the dimples, and the next day walked over to Mac Lomond's with a book Leva had expressed a wish to read. The heavens did not fall on him, but old Hankins did, and in the domestic earthquake that followed, his mother quietly sided with Al. So today the old cattle king was rounding up his steers with a savage look in his black eyes and an ominous squaring of his iron jaws. He was hot and dusty and furious. A dozen fat steers had broken away, and for once he had failed to cut them off. He was angry at himself for refusing to hear what his wife had called to him as he passed the house. And now, right in the face of his ill temper, Leva Mac Lomond came dashing up the lane on her little black horse, directly toward the trampling herd of excited cattle. Her horse must be running away with her, or she would never ride to almost certain death like this. But the drove was going slowly, and she might still have time to turn her pony and escape yet. Then a worse devil than he had ever before harbored took possession of old Hankins' heart. The girl had halted just in front of the oncoming mass. She must have lost her presence of mind, for she dismounted. As the old man saw her bright braids and jockey cap on a level with the tossing herd, he broke into a fierce yell, spurred his horse, and cracked his long stock whip, startling the frightened cattle into a wild stampede. Through the dust he could see her trying to regain the saddle as the frightened herd charged down upon her. Her horse was true and steady, but she was unusually clumsy about mounting, for twice she was almost in the saddle only to stagger back among the sharp horns and bloodshot eyes. The old man could not turn his murderous eyes away, and with an oath bolted through his clenched teeth as with torn jacket and blood-stained face she mounted and dashed down the lane. But the oath changed to a prayer, the first he had uttered in 40 years, a wild prayer for God's mercy and help, for the wounded girl swaying dizzily in the saddle, the reins swinging loose on the horse's back, her right arm hanging helplessly by her side, clasped with her left a little figure whose dirty pink dress and brown curls belonged only to baby Wedgie. They tell yet of the leap old Hankins made over the board fence. They say no racehorse ever covered the distance in the time he got to leave his side and caught her and the boy from the horse. "He's all right," she said, wiping the blood from her cheek and smiling in the old man's ashen face. "Me want a way to help Grandpa herd," Wedgie explained. No one ever knew of the awful deed in the hard old heart. For the days that Leva was imprisoned with a broken arm, he so haunted the Mac Lomond ranch, begged so hard to be of service, and seemed so happy to give her any pleasure that the family quite took to him. In the delight of being took to, old Hankins blossomed into a really neighborly old rascal. Wedgie and Al are both frequent visitors at the school today, and when his son looks over to the light in the Mac Lomond window of an evening, old Hankins says sweetly, "Go on, Al, I'll do the chores." That's the end of it. Like I said, it's a pretty short story. Reprinted, as I said, from the Pacific Monthly magazine, published out of Portland, Oregon, in May of 1899. That would be Volume 2, Issue 1. As for this podcast, in general, if you'd like some more information about it, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, including the complete catalog of 205 columns going back to 2008, links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to join the conversation. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. However, I must point out that the text that it's based on is in the public domain. Come into Corvallis, drop me a line, let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. That's it for today. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be talking about Portland's lost watery wonderland, Giles Lake. The hordes of awestruck visitors who admired the scenery at the 1905 Lewis and Clark Expo would have been shocked if they'd known that beautiful little lake that it was set around would be gone in 20 years. Filled in for industrial land, some of the most valuable in the city, not a trace of that lake remains today. If you've ever driven down Northwest Yeon Avenue, you've driven right through the middle of it. So look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.